This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
This is Spike Lee, and the Michael K. Show starts now. 98.7 ESPN.
Well, Spike must be very happy today, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a Monday, May 17th, 2021. Beautiful day in the New York area. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours. The other 19 and a half, your responsibility. And I'm hearing the other 19 are your responsibility because this is big, guys. There is a Don Show today from 6:30 to 7, and it's not just a radio vehicle. It's a television vehicle. Yes, we'll carry the Don Show.
Finally, this is big.
So this had to be slowly but surely being phased out. This is important that you know they have the next generation ready to go when they decide to push me out. Because now that Yes is televising Don, they're comfortable with Don. So I think it's big. I think it's very, very big.
Well, is this just a misunderstanding? Did Yes think because the game is in Texas tonight that you'd be on till 7?
No. They are quite sure that I'm not on.
When the decision was made, they may be happy because they've already moved forward with this, but originally.
No, they knew it was the Don Show. They knew it was the Don Show.
They're aware that our show goes till the Michael K. Show ends at 6:30. They don't think Michael's given an extra half hour.
He kind of is already, if you know what I mean.
That would be very, very foolish. But, Peter, you know, foolish happens all the time.
No, I think they just wanted some Don Show.
Don, did you go swimming today? Because your hair is slicked back like Pat Riley. What's going on?
I walked out of the shower at 1:56.
All right, let's get right to it. Obviously, we want to start with the Knicks, but we just get this piece of news from the Yankees. It's really mind-boggling, everybody. It really is. Giancarlo Stanton is put on the IL. I don't even know how he got hurt. I don't know when he got hurt. No one knows. So quad injury, and Don, I've always told you, quads and calf, don't scare me. Hamstrings, don't scare me. Quads and calf, they last forever. So he's fine. Now they put him on the IL, and they call up another pitcher, Albert Abreu. Yesterday they put Aaron Hicks on the IL. These are important people that are being put on the IL, but they're keeping them on the active roster, hoping against hope that they can avoid the IL. And what you're doing is you're playing with an extremely short bench. We'll get into that a little bit later on, but I thought that news just broke right before we came on the air. Wanted to tell you that going into this four-game set against the Texas Rangers in Arlington, no Giancarlo Stanton out on the 10-day IL. Joining him, Aaron Hicks out on the 10-day IL. Rougned Odor on the 10-day IL. So there are a lot of people banged up. But the Yankees did take 2 out of 3 in Baltimore. And for the set, like 7 times, they tried to sweep a series, and they are 1-6 in those games where they could really put their foot on the throat. But winning series is what counts, which is what the Knicks, we hope, will do against the Atlanta Hawks. They got the 4th seed. Can you believe they got the 4th seed? Everything played out for them. And I got to tell you, we had this conspiracy theory on Friday that, you know, the Bucks would lose to the Heat because they don't want to play the Heat. Well, you know what? They beat the Heat. Shockingly, they beat the Heat. And I think that puts them in a bad spot. I think the Heat can beat the Bucks. And then all of a sudden, your coach probably loses his job, and you wonder if Giannis Antetokounmpo is upset. Does he all of a sudden say, I want to get out of here after he signed his contract, which a lot of players have done. So you just wonder what's going on there. But they did beat him, and once they did that, that opened the door for the Knicks. The Knicks won both games over the weekend. Boom. They're the number 4 seed. They'll start a series at Madison Square Garden against the Atlanta Hawks. I think it's one of the amazing New York sports stories in the last couple of decades. I really do. Maybe that's hyperbole. I don't believe it is. I think it's one of the great stories we've seen.
No, it's tremendous. And now because I mentioned it last week, Michael, how much would it really stink if just circumstances had them drop to the 6? Where now you got to take on the Bucks. And again, nobody is saying they'd have no shot, but I think we'd all agree they'd be big-time underdogs and probably not get out of the first round. And now they get what they deserve. They're a 4 seed. They get home court advantage. It looks like they may be as many as 50% of people at Madison Square Garden for this series, which would be amazing. and a team that they can beat and now get to the second round. And that, and I think that's important. Because after you left the air when I did this Don show on Friday, Michael, circumstances could have presented themselves that by no fault of their own, they would have dropped six.
Right.
And then you'd have to look back and go, did really blowing that lead against the Lakers spoil everything? Just one misstep at the end of a great road trip ends up being why they dropped from four to six. But you know what? The gods smiled upon them. They got the breaks that they needed. They took care of business. Yeah, they got a Celtic team that didn't care, but they did what they had to do. They won. Now they're the four seed, and now we can have some fun.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. Now, they played a terrible Boston team yesterday, sat like seven players, and yeah. they were blowing them out, Peter. All of a sudden, it's an 18-2, 18-4 run, and you go, wow, this is not the way they're going to blow the four seed. But they did hold on. They ended up winning. And they're in the four seed against the Hall. It's tremendous. It really is. It must have been great for you to see your team play so well.
The Celtics?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I thought that was a great effort, you know, with the entire team on the bench.
Well, you know what? I think Brad Stevens felt he was coaching Butler again.
Yeah, maybe he did feel that way. Listen, you guys know I checked out on the Celtics. They obviously checked out as well. I guess in theory they're trying to rest people because they have a play-in game. But if you're a Knicks fan, so much fun this week. It's like it means so much more when your team is alive in the dance and they could actually win. And this is a great week of basketball. We're going to have the Warriors-Lakers Wednesday night, 10 o'clock, this whole week of NBA fun. And then you know that when the weekend comes, you have a home court advantage first-round series for the Knicks. I'm thrilled for Knicks fans. And we talked about, some breaks they caught. But good teams catch breaks. You know, you do the right things. You put in the effort. Sure, you're going to come up short at some points, but I'm not surprised that they've also gotten some fortuitous bounces this year because that's the kind of team they've been.
Well, you know, the old saying is luck is the residue of design, and they're a very gutty, gritty team. So I take nothing away from them, and I have made a decision. I know everybody's been waiting for it. Thibodeau is the coach of the year. I know Quinn Snyder's done a great job. Monty Williams has done a great job. And sometimes it's harder to have good teams stay good. I always thought Joe Torre got rooked out of a lot of managers of the year because, well, they're supposed to win. Well, sometimes teams that are supposed to win aren't they don't. Points allowed, the last year, 18th, first this year. Opponent field goal percentage, 17th last year, first this year. Opponent's three-point field goal percentage, 28th last year, first this year.
Wow.
That's what Thibodeau has done. So, you know, Monty Williams, great personal story. They've done a great job. Chris Paul, I think, is a big part of that. Quinn Snyder, I love the way the Utah Jazz play basketball. They do everything right. Sorry, it's Tom Thibodeau. I was listening to Brian Windhorst on Bart and Han, which was really Bart and Carlin. And, he said, I just mailed in my ballot. It has to be Thibodeau. He said for the longest time it was Quinn Snyder, but to have this team – with the talent that they have, finishing the four spot in the Eastern Conference, that is the coach of the year. I'd be stunned if Thibodeau doesn't win it. I really,
yeah.
But you know, wasn't it last month we thought he was the coach of the year when they went off on that great run and he didn't win? He didn't win the coach of the month, I mean. So I hopefully the NBA writers get this right and that he is the coach of the year because he's earned it.
Yeah, and unfortunately nothing that happens, or fortunately, what happens in the playoffs doesn't matter. This is a regular season award. But you know what? The Knicks got bigger things to worry about here, right? Let the postseason awards happen after the season is over. Right now, they are in a great position to make it to the second round. Now, we were talking last week, Michael, about like the Vegas getting it as wrong as they got. And Andrew went back to the 0-1-0 season teams, like the greatest differential between actual wins and what Vegas had. And this is the fourth greatest win differential in the last 20 years, plus 18.5. And that's pretty impressive, right? Vegas usually doesn't get it wrong. And I was looking at the
I couldn't
team.
Believe there were three ahead of them.
Yeah, me neither.
The 0-2 Pistons were at plus 19.5. They went from 30.5 and 150, and that team made it to the second round. The Bucks were a plus 19.5 in 2010. They went from 26.5 to 46. They got bounced in the first round. Suns had the greatest improvement in 14, guys. 27.5 predicted to go 20.5. They won 48 games, but that Suns team still missed the playoffs. The
wow.
best run
that tells you about the West at that time
was the 09 Cavs were at plus 18.5. That team went to the conference final. But nobody else, and the Pistons, as I said, went to the second round in 02. They were 19.5. So the teams that have done it either missed the playoffs or bounced early. So the Knicks have a chance here to get into the second round, and then who knows? Who knows what can happen, guys? I mean, so you got to be in it to win it. And they got some breaks, but as Michael said, you make your own breaks in this business, and we'll see what they can do against the Hawks. And now we just got to wait for when it's going to start, I guess either the 22nd or 23rd, right?
How about this, though? Vegas must hate the Knicks. If you bet the Knicks every single night, whatever the spread was, right, you made a lot of money. You know they were 46-26 against the spread. That's a 639 win percentage, finishing with the third best cover percentage by any team in the last 30 years. I mean, every story that we tell continues to be a great story. It's just amazing. Now, let's look at – I mean, we'll take a deeper dive when the playoffs are closer or when their series is closer. Of their starters, two guys have played in the playoffs. Nerlens Noel, 12 playoff games. Reggie Bullock, 4. That's it, aside from Tibbs. Now, Derrick Rose obviously has played in playoff games. He's coming off the bench. So we'll see. Julius Randle against Atlanta this year, 37.3 points per game on 58.1% field goal shooting. Now, the Knicks were 3-0 against Atlanta. We haven't made our picks yet, but I will tell everybody this. I'm giddy. You're giddy. Don, Peter, giddy. Get it. Atlanta's no pushover. Atlanta's a good team. Atlanta's got good players on it. Trae Young's a special player. So please don't think by any stretch of the imagination that this is going to be a walkover. It's not going to be a walkover. It is not going to be a walkover.
You don't feel great about the Trae Young-Elfrid Payton matchup?
You know, the Elfrid Payton thing, it's intriguing. It's amazing how Thibodeau has continued to stick with him. If you watched any of the game yesterday, it was terrible. He's been terrible for a long time. He's tentative. He doesn't have any aggressive nature at all. He's just awful. But, you know, it's not really the Trae Young-Elfrid Payton matchup because they'll pick Payton out. But maybe because he's such a plus defender, Frank Ntilikina sees more time. Maybe. But Trae Young's the real deal, guys. He's the real deal.
But it looks like the Hawks are favorite to win the series.
I'm at
BetMGM. Well, right now the early odds have to get out of the conference. All right? And I will look up the actual series, but the conference winner, the best odds are the Nets are minus 110. Sixers plus 300. Bucks at plus 375. So the Knicks are at plus 3,500. The Hawks at plus 3,500. Yeah, the Hawks are plus 3,000. So they're not giving either team, but it sounds like the Hawks have a slightly better odds, right, of getting out of the conference. So they must have them winning the series.
That's a little weird. I mean, I guess the lack of respect continues with the Knicks.
Well, feed off it, right? I would think that's good news. If I'm a Knicks fan, have people not believe.
Now, the Nets did clinch the number two spot. They did get their big three together for one game. Harden rested yesterday. So they got the second spot. They finished one game behind the Sixers. That game that we argued about and screamed about ended up costing them. So the Nets will play the winner of the play-in game. The 7-8 play-in game. So they'll either play the Celtics or the Wizards. And then the Sixers will play the winner of the next play-in game. The Pacers will play the Hornets, and then they will play the loser of the Celtics and the Wizards. So that's who the Sixers will play. I don't think the Nets really want to see the Wizards. You know, they're a little pesky team, but I think they'll beat them up. And I thought that you know, Connor had a good column in the Post today. No excuses now. They're all healthy. They got to win. The path is open for them to win the NBA title. The Nets have to win. And, boy, if they don't win and they're healthy, what a failed experiment. Because I'll tell you this, as much as I love watching them play, I don't know if you guys agree with me. I don't know if our listeners agree with me. They're not lovable.
No.
They're just not a lovable bunch of guys. They're just not. They got together to win a title. I mean, some might say that's mercenary. Well, I don't care. I mean, that's they want to win a title. But if you're a Net fan, you have no connection to these guys. None. Do you have a connection to Blake Griffin? Do you have a connection to James Harden and Kyrie Irving and KD? No, you don't. This is one of those cases, Don, where what Seinfeld used to say, you are strictly rooting for the laundry. That's it. Because there's no connection here. Joe Harris, there's a connection. Okay, Joe Harris. But this is not a team that you grew up watching, you know, gel. And
no.
They've been thrown together. And
no,
they,
they've been thrown
I think
together.
They're going to win.
It's a super team. Right? It's a super team. And if you're a Net fan, salivate over it. Enjoy it. Luxuriate in it because you got an excellent chance to win a championship and you've never seen one in your lifetime in the NBA. But I can't imagine, I'd be curious on Twitter and with the phone calls, Michael, is there any non-Net fan rooting for them? Meaning, like, if you're just an NBA fan or you're rooting for a team, you don't have a dog in a fight, they didn't make the playoffs, that are, like, jumping on the Net bandwagon, or is this team just so hateable that now you're just committed to watching them lose?
See,
that's
going to
be the majority.
I don't know if they're hateable. They're just not lovable. And then, you know, Kyrie comes out on Saturday. You know, basketball's not the foremost thing on my mind. Like, they make you want to, like, check out.
Well,
and listen, I understand Kyrie, and he's dead right. There's so many more things important in the world than sports. Things that could change the future of mankind. I get it. But I'm sorry, this is your job. And, you know, if you think that's more important, then step aside and become some kind of ambassador. Make your renown and your riches, make it make a difference in the world. But when you're getting paid over $34 million by the Nets and you say it's not the most important thing in your mind, wow. I mean, that's got to be tough, Joe Tsai, the owner, and B, Net fans.
I just think the thing that I was trying to read it and think about what's annoying. Because, yeah, when you watch the statement, you agree with all the words that he's saying.
Yep.
Except he adds in that thing of saying, of really stressing how he doesn't care about basketball.
Wow.
And I just feel that you could still say everything else you say, and you could say, I want to use this platform to talk about issues. I don't know why he has to add I care about it so much more than basketball. Like, it's insulting kind of for no reason.
You have to walk around eggshells because I'm sure that Sean Marks probably wants to, like, call him at the office. What are you doing, man? But they're so afraid he'll check out.
Right.
They're just so afraid of him just saying, you know what, I'm done. But I agree with – here's the deal. I'm not criticizing Kyrie Irving, except for what Peter said. If you think that basketball is not important, then step away. But once you take that paycheck and you put that uniform on and there are 14 other guys that are depending on you, I'm sorry, it's got to be pretty important for those 2.5 hours that you play.
Well, here's how fans react to that, okay? Because it's Captain Literal, man. Listen, we all should care about our families and all that. But when you're on the field or on the court or on the ice, the fans want to know that you're completely 100% all in. And listen, there's been times where you're not really sure with Kyrie. But all the stories, like Peter, remember when Ronnie Lott cut off the tip of his pinky to play in the Super Bowl? When that story's told, have you ever met anybody to go, what, that guy was an idiot. What's the matter with him? No, they're all like, see, that's what's so great about Ronnie Lott. He cut off a pinky to go out there. Everybody loves when you're all in. So the opposite of that would be totally hating when you're not. Now, nobody is ever suggesting that when he's on the court, he checks out or doesn't try. But the last thing any fan, especially a Net fan, wants to hear when they're all geared up for the playoffs and they're committing all this time and money to watch their team, have to hear that one of their star players he doesn't sound like he's all in.
Peter Young, now you know him better than any of the three of us, and you don't know him that well.
No.
But I just wonder, if you feel like that, right? And you have every right to feel like that. Again, I'm walking on eggshells because I don't want to be the one criticizing that he cares about the world more than his game. But if you feel like that, what is the necessity to articulate it? Why do you have to say it to the world to make everybody know you don't really care that much about what's going on the basketball court? You only care about the world. You could feel that way, but can't you internalize it? What's the purpose other than to rattle cages? I think he is a performance artist. I think he likes to say things to get a rise out of people. He really does. Imagine you getting all this money. You're going into the most important part of the schedule, and you say, basketball's not as important to me as, I'm sorry, that's a bad look. But nobody on the Nets will say anything to him because they're deathly afraid of him. Because they know if they say, listen, you can't say that, he will check out.
Right.
He's done it this year.
Or do you want to be the organization that seems like you're not all in on all the other things?
That's the eggshells I'm talking about. That's the eggshells.
You know, they don't want to do that. But listen, we live in – I think you can do both. And the reason that you don't say it, Michael, is because I think what he might be doing is taking a little of the pressure off himself. That at the end of the day, if they fail, he can honestly look at the camera and say, hey, I gave it my all, but we didn't win. That's okay. There's more important things in the world. And you can't call him a liar. You can't say that he's saying it after the fact because he's been saying it all along. So is this a defense mechanism for just him personally taking a lot of the pressure off himself when all the expectations are that this team has to win or bust?
But I don't think he's taking pressure. I think that what LeBron's doing, you know, Steph is the MVP, he's taking pressure. He's taking pressure off himself. There's still pressure on Kyrie. There's still pressure on KD, and there's still pressure on Harden. I just, when I heard it, I kind of winced. I go, wow, Net fans don't want to hear that. Net management doesn't want to hear that. Steve Nash doesn't want to hear it.
Well, but you live with it when you see that he also finishes the season 50% from the floor, 40% from three, and 90% from the free throw line.
Right. His greatness allows him to do this stuff. If it was a lesser player, they would excoriate him.
But now, getting back to the original point on whether this is just an unlikable team or a hated team, you throw in with Kyrie. I don't think the average NBA fan's completely in love with Durant going to Golden State, right? So now he's on a second super team, and the fact that what Harden did to get himself out of Houston. So you combined all three of the super team, right? And it's not exactly something that you feel like you want to go out there and root for to win and for it to work, because then there's a lot of NBA fans are saying, if the super teams keep working, then we're going to still be creating them, and this will become the way to build. And I don't know if every NBA fan's on board with that either, unless the one that become the super team is the team that they root for.
Now, one quick return to the Knicks. ESPN's Basketball Power Index gives Atlanta a 59% chance of winning to the Knicks' 41% chance. So Don's probably right. He read the Vegas odds the right way. Vegas probably feels the same way.
I wonder what that's based on exactly.
Experience, I guess?
No. Here's what it's based on, guys. If you look at the talent on the Atlanta Hawks, it's more talent than the Knicks. The Knicks as a team, I mean, they essentially tied Atlanta, but they beat Atlanta 3-0 this year. And the final game, Trae Young got hurt. So I think they're just looking at talent.
Well, is Trae Young the best player on the floor? That's the question.
It's between Trae and obviously Randle.
Right.
So it sounds like Vegas thinks they've got the best player.
And also remember, though, Vegas didn't believe in the Knicks at the beginning of the year. And they've been proven wrong, but maybe they're still hanging on to the fact that they just don't see the Knicks in that light.
All right, let's reset. Let's take some phone calls. Net Nick fans, you're all excited. Nets finished second. Knicks finished fourth. I never thought I'd say that when the season began. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
So just want to tell you, in the 3 o'clock hour, you're going to have your chance to score jet tickets.
Season tickets?
No.
Oh, okay.
All week, we'll get them giving away jet tickets.
Oh, okay.
All right. So you're gonna learn the sounder for the cue to call. In the 5 o'clock hour, you can win the tickets. Then everybody that won tickets this week, including everybody that wins tickets on DCR, one of those 10, they are going to win season tickets.
Woo!
One quick aside before we get to the phone calls. So our friend Mike Breen was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. And the non-players were inducted on Friday. The players were inducted on Saturday at the Mohegan Sun. And I was so pleasantly surprised. I saw a picture on Friday on Twitter that the Knicks had sent out. You know who showed up for the ceremony? The entire Knick front office, including James Dolan. That's unbelievable respect shown toward Mike Breen.
Wow.
I mean, World Wide West was there. Everybody.
I believe
was
Leon
there.
Rose was there too, no?
Leon Rose, yeah. World Wide West, Jim Dolan. I talked to Mike today, and he was overwhelmed. The people that showed up, and he was so pleased to see the Knicks and you know represented, and Jim Dolan. They didn't have to be there. Nobody thought they were going to be there. He had heard that some from the front office, but it's not some. Every big person in the Knicks organization showed up, and I give them credit. You know, they've received a lot of criticism over the last couple of decades, much of it warranted, but that's a pretty neat thing. I'm sure that Jim Dolan had a lot of other places he could have been than Uncasville, Connecticut on Friday night. So good job by the Knick owner showing up to honor Mike Breen. I love that. I love it. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Zachary in Long Island. Zachary. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
All right, you're out. I am not taking this.
Not
okay?
Today's no. Not the day.
Not today.
No,
not,
oh, hey.
Not today. I mean, were you on hold with ShopRite
Mom.
To see if they had CarbSmart ice cream? What did you think was going to happen when you heard this is he okay this week?
I'm here.
Wow. Robert in North Salem. Robert.
Hey, guys. I'm here. Okay.
Wow.
Listen, I just wanted to say, Don, how about that Islander game, man? I just wanted to say, though, real quick, as far as Thibodeau goes, he has to win. Michael, I got two quick reasons why. They have the most improved player, right, in Julius Randle this year, probably, right? That could attest to the coach. They're going to have the most improved team, probably. I didn't look at the records, but, like, from a win total from last year to this year, and they exploded Vegas' odds, that attests to the coach. They don't even have a point guard, and they did what they did. And I feel like Monty is the runner-up, but I feel like Chris Paul is like another head coach. It's almost like two head coaches on the floor. He's such a good game manager. So I don't know. What do you think about that? I think Tibbs has to win because of those things.
I think it's between those three coaches, Quinn Snyder. A lot of people overlook the Jazz. Who watches the Jazz? So when they're on national television, they're the late game. But that team's great. They run great schemes. They do everything well. And I agree with the Monty Williams things. I love Monty Williams. If you read his story, it's heartbreaking for him to come back and coach this well. But would they be this team without Chris Paul? So I don't think that you could look at any Knick and say, well, they would be this way even without Tibbs. And you can't even say that about Randle because Randle was a flop last year. He was a flop. Knick fans weren't in love with Julius Randle last year. He met with Thibodeau. And Thibodeau told them what they expected of him, and he's been great. He's been absolutely great. Let's go to Tommy in Hoboken. Tommy.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
I just wanted to say a stat I read on Twitter. The Knicks are the second team in history to have the first in points per game, field goal percentage, and three-point percentage. And the only other team to do it was the Knicks in 1993, so...
Wow.
It's just been a historic year, and the Knicks have been so well, playing so good. It's been an honor to watch them. And Tom Thibodeau deserves Coach of the Year. Julius Randle, most improved is a lock, and he should be top five for MVP. And I just love the team.
Well, I hear you. I think he's going to be top five. I don't think he's going to win. I don't think he's going to come close to winning. Jokic is going to win, in my opinion. But how is anybody more improved than Julius Randle? And the entire team could be, I mean, if they gave out a most improved team award, I mean, look at their defensive metrics from last year. They were laughable. They were a terrible defensive team. Now, they're a really good defensive team. They're one of the best defensive teams.
I do want to point out, though, the same thing I point out every time, like a broken record. I really do argue that the greatness of Randle's play in an MVP conversation is enhanced by the fact that to the next best player, there's such a drop-off, as opposed to Jokic, who played almost the entire year until he was hurt with Jamal Murray.
But watch what Jokic did with that. That team didn't skip a beat after they lost Jamal Murray.
That is true. But it doesn't change the fact that the whole year he had another marquee player next to him. I mean, we can't fathom what this team would be without Randle.
True, but we can fathom what they are without Murray, and they've been the same. So that should, I think that probably solidified him as an MVP.
Yeah, that probably did help.
Let's go to Mike in Tom's River. Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I think New York sports fans, especially New York basketball fans, should just take a step back and breathe it in. This is, it's been a couple of years since we've been excited about multiple things at the same time from different
fan
bases.
Yeah, you're right.
And just a quick Nets point from earlier when you started the show, you were saying there might not be a real connection with Nets fans to these players.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have superstars for like 20 years, 25 years, the whole time watching the team play, and players like this decide to come to your team, connection grows pretty quick. And you go to the stadium, the way they interact with fans, the way that they have fun playing together. I feel like Nets fans really do have a big connection with these players that decided to come play for us.
You know, that's fair. I mean, I'm looking at it from the outside in. You're looking at it from the inside. And if you feel there's a connection, then who am I to say that there's not? It's just that they don't seem like they're warm and cuddly and embraceable, but they're so good. There was a play in yesterday's game that was Globetrotter-esque. I don't know if you saw it, Peter.
Oh, I retweeted it and said, oh, so the Nets are just going to be the Globetrotters in the playoffs this year.
It was unbelievable. I mean, it was really one of those eye-opening great plays that you just don't see in an NBA game. I thought it was a super flex by them. This is what we can be. This is how good we are. And it was started with Blake Griffin. It was just an amazing play.
It was a behind-the-back pass, like flip from Blake Griffin that led to an alley-oop off the backboard dunk for KD.
Yeah.
It was
special.
Crazy.
It was special. Speaking of special, here's Spike in New Jersey. Spike.
Thank you for that kind introduction. I have a couple of things to throw at you guys. I can't tell you how happy I am. I can't tell you how I feel the whole city is happy. I can't thank the brass and that they showed up for Mike Breen, who just as classy as actors as you got in this business. And you guys, you all know him well, especially you, Michael. But here's my thing. Andrew's one of my go-to guys when I have a conundrum on this. Explain me this, someone, please. Miami plays Milwaukee. The heart and soul of the Miami Heat team is Jimmy Butler. No one's going to argue with me, all right? They got 5 days off until they're going to play again, okay? If Milwaukee plays Miami, okay, and Miami gets the Knicks, wouldn't Miami rather have the Knicks instead of the Bucks? And they scratched Jimmy Butler at the last minute because he had tightness in his back. This smells to me like Riley and Spoelstra got something on their mind that they got something on the Bucks. Am I crazy to think that? Why did that happen?
Well, I looked at it the other way. Why would the Bucks win that game? Why would they want to face Miami? But you know, you can't win a game that the other team doesn't want to win, if that's what you're saying. So I'm not quite sure. I always think it's really, really scary to try to pick your playoff opponent because you could end up getting bitten. But Miami is a team that can knock them off.
But last year Miami eliminated Milwaukee. Is Riley? I don't understand why Miami would have gotten the Knicks instead of the Bucks if they tried. They had a better chance with Jimmy Butler.
One thing that I would say is that the Bucks are a different team than they were against Miami last year. You know, P.J. Tucker's a big difference. Drew Holiday's a big difference in terms of defense defending the three. Miami killed them with the three last year in the playoffs, so we'll see. But it would be a huge gamble. Or maybe it's this, Spike. Maybe he was really hurt.
Maybe Michael's got – okay, if he's really, really hurt, and you got 5 days, they don't pick it up till Friday or Saturday. I don't know how the schedule falls out. But he's definitely the best player, the best closer, the heart and soul of that team. To keep him out, if he's really, really hurt, then there's something else brewing here. But I would take the Knicks every day, and I love the Knicks. You know how much I love them over the Bucks. The Bucks have improved. You just said it. They picked up the point guard that we should have picked up, and you got a problem with Elfrid Payton. He may not get any burn at all. Frank Ntilikina may get the time. He's getting 12, 13 minutes a game. You've been noticing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so listen, we got the best thing we could have. Atlanta's a tough opponent. What you do is you tire Trae Young out on the offensive end. You take Barrett and Randle, you run everything to Trae Young's man into the picks and screens, and you tire him out. He gets to the bucket in an like Kyrie and like Steph Curry. He's unbelievable, but he doesn't play a lick of defense. And the only defensive player they have on that team is the big guy they got from Houston. His name slips me now. But this is going to be a great series. This is not a walkover, but it's the weakest team we could have gotten.
Five games, six games.
You know.
It's the best draw the Knicks could have gotten. I agree, but it's not an easy layup. It's just not. Let's go to Tim and Howell. Tim.
Hello.
Hello,
Michael,
Tim.
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
How you guys doing? I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, welcome aboard, Tim.
Thank you. Now, my issue with you is the way you just hung up on that gentleman because he didn't answer you right away. You know how hard it is to get through to your show? I've tried a million times. It's the first time I'm through. You didn't even give him a second. You hang up on him. Don and Peter are right. You're a bad guy.
Now, Michael, if you
I'm
really
hang up on Tim now.
I was
going to
say, if you want to up the ante, just hang
just
up
did.
On this.
Oh,
no,
you did?
But see, I gave Tim some slack because he was energy. The other guy sounded like, you know, who was that comedian with the curly hair, the bald guy?
Stephen Wright?
Stephen Wright. He sounded like Stephen Wright. You know, we need energy on the show. First of all, he didn't know he was on. And if it's that hard to get on the show and you finally get on, don't you think that you jump out of a cannon once we say, okay, you're next? Listen, you guys want to paint me as a bad guy, I accept it.
Well, you're owning it right now.
I'm
appreciate
own it.
That.
All right, let me ask you, Peter. First of all, why is there no camera on you?
I just walked into my apartment. I'm about to go set my camera up.
Okay. Was I a bad guy for hanging up on that guy?
Yes. But
Don?
I mean, I get it. I mean, you're gonna be the bad guy, but you had to play it because, listen, we want to get pacing going here. And to get this hello, back, come on. Every caller's like a song. And if a song's bad, what do you do on the radio? You change the station. So you have to play the role of the bad guy sometimes.
And there's only – the difference is, you know, Hot 97 has, you know, 15, 20 hits they can play all the time. We only have one hit right now, and his name's Morty.
And once you talk basketball, Morty's out. It's got to be Yankees.
That's – yeah, only way is – if we when we talk about Stanton, we'll probably get more.
Baseball stinks.
Did right. you see the tweet that Don sent out? I think it was either last night or earlier. Anybody who's going to call and complain about the Yankees analytics, he's going to hang up.
No, I said call in July. I'm just saying we got so much going today, right? There's so much happened with the Knicks and the Nets and the Islanders won in overtime. And the Yankees, we're going to talk about the Yankees, obviously, but if we're going to get bogged down in that same conversation, I can't believe there's no two-strike approach and why can't they we got all summer. Got too much going on. Am I wrong?
No, never wrong. And you've got the Don Show, too.
Televised.
Which is now
apparently.
A televised event.
By the
and
way,
don't be thrown off by the guide. The guide said 6:30 Yankeeography. Not true.
Now,
so if you're DVRing, DVR the Yankeeography if you just want the Don Show.
That's right. Now, real quick, Don, I did hear that there was another 3-in-a-row Don and Dick Show on Friday.
Oh, it's the gold standard. It's going to happen every Don Show.
It's unreal.
Because he always called late, Peter, so he's going to call every day. Now, he doesn't have a special number for anybody who's going to jump us. No, he's making the effort just like everybody else. He's just happening to get through.
I don't know how people do get through all the time, though. It's wild to me.
Yeah, like, Spike always gets through. I don't know how he does it.
Like, how does Spike get through every single day? And other people will tell us, I call every few days. I never get through. I've been trying for a year.
There is a – if you know what you're doing, you can get through.
So what do you mean? There's a trick.
There is a little trick. There is a cheat code.
Do you know the cheat code?
Yes.
You do?
It's easy enough
tell
to
people.
Figure. What's that?
Tell people. Go ahead.
Because you have to realize that we're on a 20-second delay. So don't listen to things in real time. Oh, that person's hanging up. I'm now going to call to try to get in on that open line. You have to anticipate when the call's going to be over, realizing that we're in a 20-second delay so you can jump in when that line opens. If you wait for, all right, thanks for the call, you're 20 seconds behind. Forget it. That line's already been gobbled up. So you got to think differently and got to anticipate when the line's going to open up.
But you explain to me how Ira is able to get through to any show that even starts to say Jet and he's already on the line. Explain it.
Can't be explained. He'll think about it. We'll go to a break. We'll come back. Maybe he'll explain it. We'll take more phone calls. 1-800-ESPN. 1-800. 1-800-919-ESPN.
You're not going to get through it
all. Yeah, if it's 1-800-ESPN, you're going to be waiting a while. But you're watching on Yes and listening on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Having a good time on a Monday. Hope you're having a good time with us. So, I got my license, my driver's license, at 17. And knock on wood, I've had a spotless record. Never had a ticket, a moving violation in my life.
What?
Ever. Never, ever, ever. Now, do I go fast or more than the speed limit occasionally on a highway? Yeah, but I'm not that idiot that's swerving in and out. If the road's empty, I might go a little bit more than I should. And for that, I'm somewhat chagrined. But last week, the Deegan kept getting backed up going to the stadium. So what should have been a 15-minute stretch of road turned into like 45 minutes.
All right.
So my sister and her husband, when they go to the stadium, they have a shortcut where they take the streets, and so they told me what to do. And I did it twice. And last week, in the mail, I get two tickets from cameras that said I was speeding in a school zone.
Oh, sure.
So the school zone, listen, now I'm being dead serious here. The school zone is 25 miles an hour. Now, we all know the rules of speeding. They'll give you 10 miles. Like if it's 55, if you're going 65, even if there's a radar gun aimed at you, they're not pulling you over. They're looking for the big kill. They don't want 65. They want 95.
Yep, maybe 85.
Okay, maybe even 75. But you're not getting pulled over for 65. This ticket said you were going 36 in a 25-mile zone. $50. So, I didn't even think about fighting it. I just wrote the check, sent it. The only thing I care about is points on the license. And then 2 days later, another one comes. Same thing, same road. Same price.
Wait, Michael, have you not gotten them? Maybe the camera only popped up since you left? There's a school zone right near the station. I got hit for like five of them.
Me too. Not five, really? But I got hit once or twice.
But do they count toward your insurance?
I don't think so. I think they just take your money.
Yeah, they just take the money, Michael, because again, you would have to then prove that it was you driving the car.
Excellent point.
So I've always taken those moving violations that are done by the camera as just the money grab. Because I could always say, no, listen, my wife was driving or my cousin was driving.
Throw her right under the bus. My car was stolen for a day.
So I don't know if you want to admit it with our audience, but I think that that's okay. And that's why
I'm not talking about Nancy.
A lot of money, because you're right. Because what is that, LaGuardia High School by the old station, Peter? Right on, that'd be 10th and 66th right there. And sometimes I'd be... Yeah, you know, it's probably around the same amount. You're not supposed to go over 25 in the city, period, anyway.
Right.
But that's where, you know, probably speeding a little bit to try to get to that light to make the left on the 66. They probably got – that's where they got me, and they probably got Peter the same thing.
It is so annoying, though.
But I was crushed. I've never done anything wrong. To get a ticket because some little snivelly little camera got me made me sick. It felt violated. Don't like it. I almost feel like fighting it. How do I know that that's calibrated the right way? When's the last time it was checked? Because I wasn't speeding. And first of all, it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. There were no kids out. School was in session. What a terrible way to grab money. Awful. Awful. Sick of it. Sick.
It's not that awful.
Oh, it's terrible. You don't know. I almost cried.
Well, why would you cry?
Because I've never had a moving violation, and now some robot gets me?
Well, that's how they get you. What are you going to do? You just admitted that you do speed. Think of all the times you got away with it. If you get hit for a couple of 50-buck charges,
it's worth it. I don't speed like the Autobahn speed. I go a little faster than the – I think
well, apparently
I think
11
the speed
miles
limit
over
is
the
a
speed
joke.
Limit where kids go to – right where kids have their lunch and learn. What's the matter with you? It's a little girl,
by the way,
little girl how, Peter, could have been walking across the street reading her book.
By the way, how on earth did he not get a ticket in all those in 43 years? How?
Because I'm a rules follower.
No illegal U-turns. You didn't realize you couldn't make a left somewhere.
Listen,
and you did.
I've said this before, Peter. I don't know if I've ever told you. There's not many things I'm good at in life. Not many. I wouldn't even put broadcasting on that list. I'm a great driver.
Yeah, but
I know what I'm doing behind the wheel of a car.
All right, but let me look at the camera, Michael, because we can't make eye contact anymore. But so you never got pulled over. Oh, it's Michael K. Go ahead. Be careful next time, Michael. Try to slow down.
No.
Never.
Nope.
I find that very difficult to believe. All right. Michael, the way we drive, I mean, obviously, outside of the pandemic, I'm putting like 35,000 miles on my car a year, driving all over creation. Just eventually, you're going to get pulled over. And there are times, whether and they're not being recognized, where they'll just say, hey, you got to slow down. They don't always give you a ticket. I give police credit for that. But how do you go that long and never get pulled over? It's an impossibility. And it has nothing to do with quality of driving. Speeding.
I'm a special.
You think you only get pulled over if you're like weaving? If you're driving quality, but it's 20 miles over the speed limit, you're probably going to get pulled over.
Nope.
Peter, I've never said this. I don't think. I believe he's lying.
My goodness.
I don't know if I think he's lying, but it's like it's borderline like Ira and getting through when the Jets are talked about. I just don't know how you do it.
I just can't believe there wasn't one time, Peter, he was late for something or just didn't realize he was going over the speed limit, got pulled over, they recognized him as Michael K., and said, all right, Michael, slow down. Michael doesn't want to admit that because it seems like he's dropping a name or whatever.
Most people would cuff me if they realized who I was.
So.
And by the way, Andrew asked, I have had parking tickets. Yes, I've had parking tickets.
That's
listen, I want to continue my run today of being heel K. So did anybody watch any of the Orioles series this week?
Sure. Weekend?
All right. And did you watch any of the Tampa Bay series before that?
Sure.
Did you notice that? They can't get Aaron Judge out.
Can't get him out.
And doing damage, too. Not just hits, but home runs.
Tied for the league lead with 12.
That's I think it was right, a caller who said he can't hit,
well,
Michael. For somebody
well,
who can't hit. I'd hate
here,
to see him
here,
hit.
Well, you know what? Because I'm one of the worst human beings of all time. During the game, actually, during a commercial, I texted Anthony and said, can you dig up the caller who said that he can't hit? And he dug him up. Here he is. Let's go to Barry in Manhattan. Barry.
I want to know why you constantly rave about Aaron Judge as one of the best five ball players in baseball. He really can't hit. He really can't hit. He's a decent fielder who cannot hit. Why do you rave about him all the time?
He can't hit.
He really can't. When he hits a home run, he's a monster. He goes 500 feet, but he's not a good hitter.
So, Barry, I'm going to look right in the camera. Please call back today. Because I'd like to pick you apart like a piece of Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's what I'd like to do.
How about this? Judge is up to 298.
That's right. Look at his on-base percentage. Look
at his
slugging.
OBP is 399.
That's
slugging
right.
611. 12 home runs.
Yeah.
I was thinking earlier, I'm like, wow, you know, when Michael says he's top five guy when healthy, I get it.
Yeah. So, Barry, 1-800-919-3776. I want to hear you defend your car. I think we also had a caller last week about somebody else that was terrible. Who was that, Anthony? Do you remember? I mean, they really served the Yankees well. Every time they rip somebody, they go off on a toot offensively. Interesting. Barry from Manhattan, he can't hit. I mean, occasionally he'll have a 500-foot home run, but he can't hit. Give me the numbers again, Peter.
You want the Aaron Judge numbers?
Yeah,
that would be, well, after yesterday's 2-for-3 with a home run performance,
right?
He's 298 batting average.
Right.
.399 on base.
Right. What's up, All Rise?
.611 slugging, 12
home runs. Right. 99, baby. Yeah. Yeah. Call in, Bear. Love to talk with you. Let's go to Justin in the Bronx. Justin.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Long time listener, first time caller.
You got it. Welcome aboard.
And I've been this question has been eating away at me for quite a while. And it takes guys that know this man personally, I think, to give me the truth behind it.
Okay.
So you guys know Rothenberg from the DCR show personally, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, yes. We've been to his son's bar mitzvah.
So I called him when he was in his new time slot, I think 6 a.m., early on in the mix.
5 a.m. 5 a.m. to 8 a.m.
Oh, 5 a.m. Yep. All right, sorry, 5 a.m. And I pretty much said, you know, this Knicks team looks pretty promising. Didn't say they were going to win a championship or anything like that. But I just said, I would like them to be what that Yankees team was, with a young Gary Sanchez and a young Aaron Judge, and just make the playoffs and play in some big games.
And what did he say to you, the big
game? Let me tell you.
What did he do?
This guy scoffs and pretty much laughs me off the radio, just so in a week or two, for Omar to call in, and then he's all in on the Knicks. And I've been listening to it all year. So I just want to know, is he a bad guy or a flip-flopper? You tell me.
No, he's not a flip-flopper. He's an awful guy.
Don't interrupt
okay,
God.
Okay.
He's an awful person. And now he's celebrating the Knicks after he ripped you like you stole something from his
family.
We're also
taking the caller at his word.
Of course. I would take a caller over Dave any day.
I think he might be misremembering some things. I'd like to go back to that call. Because, Peter, didn't he kind of soft shoe it a little bit? Yeah, we might make the playoffs, win some meaningful games. He probably came on, you know, guaranteeing a playoff run, and Dave put him in his place.
Well, but they
I'd like
made
to
a
hear the
run.
Call before I'm just going to rip my guy as being a flip flopper.
No. I didn't say he's a flip flopper. I specifically said he's a bad guy.
No, but he's not a bad guy. He's not a flip flopper. And if I had to bet, I would bet you that caller was a little bit more aggressive with his prediction. He turned out to be right. But maybe there was a little arrogance to it, and Dave put him in his place. I'd like to hear the call because I don't know the caller. I know Dave.
That's right.
So I'm going to support my guy Dave and think that that caller was a little disingenuous with his remembering of that incident.
The thing is,
great. I love watching this team.
You have to remember, though, Michael likes that caller who he just met better than he likes Dave. That's the thing. Michael hates him.
I don't hate Dave. That's not
true.
You
called him a bad guy. Why wouldn't you hate a bad guy?
But I'm a bad guy, too, and I like, you know, you like me.
You were about to say that you like you.
Yeah, but then I remembered I really don't.
I'd join a nudist colony if the Giants would win a Super Bowl.
Let's go to our good friend Barbara in Florida. Barbara.
Barbara.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are my favorite guys?
We're doing terrific. Okay. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I had to call in because I'm listening to you, and I have a question. Why is it, Michael, every time you tell a story, you are doubted 100%? And I will say this. I've been driving since I'm 17. I remember when I was in my late 20s, I got my first parking ticket because a meter didn't work. About 20 years later, I got a ticket just like you did, only I was making a left turn, the arrow was yellow, when I was under it, it was red, and it snapped my license plate. Since I'm 17, I have 2 tickets.
You know why they doubt me, Barbara? Because they don't like me. They want me to be wrong.
It has nothing to do with liking you. I know you're lying.
Michael, everybody likes you.
Well, that might not be true, but these two are always going to think that I'm lying, because that's just the way they're built.
Well,
Barbara, how many miles
boat.
Do you put a year on?
I'm
seriously.
17.
All right, that's fine.
Well,
since 17, but how many miles
like
do you put
Michael
on a car
does.
A year?
Minimal.
All right. Well, that's part of it. I mean, I Michael's been driving for 43 years, but you know how many miles he's driven all over the place?
You might drive more miles than any human being I know, Don.
Well, because I live, it's like 80 miles round trip. It's like 40 back, 40 there and 40 back, like 80 miles round trip. So that's, you know, that's a lot. So, yeah, I've been driving since 1985. But I've also put a lot of miles on. She just said minimal. So the fact that she's been driving since 17, if you're putting 1,000 miles a year on, well, then that's like me last Thursday. You know what I'm saying?
Let's go to the berm in New Jersey. What's up, the berm?
Hello, men. Nice to talk to you.
Welcome aboard.
Always.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Listen, I tell you what, 40 years in law enforcement, all right? 25 on, and now the last 15 are working 911.
Okay.
You got to check the calibration on those cameras. Also, you weren't driving the car. You weren't driving the car.
One me.
It's really simple.
But I should pay the ticket, though, right?
And right.
So then when they come up with
the ticket, but you can get a hold of the court and say, listen, I didn't have the car that day. I don't know who was driving the car. They caught me one day doing 46 miles an hour in a zone that was 25. I called up. They got rid of the ones in my town because the calibration was always off. You always want to question it. Trust me on this. You can question it and you can get rid of it.
All right.
Yeah, but if it's not putting any points on.
Is it good? Berm, I don't care about paying the money. Is it putting points on?
No, you're not getting points.
Okay.
All right, you donated $100 to the New York City Police Department. It's going to a good place, right?
Well, I don't really know where they send the money. To tell you the truth, it comes and goes. I think it's just regular city. Anyway, can I make one more comment? You know how I always talk about how Michael's the bad guy on this show?
Sure. Well,
Mike, I love you personally.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you.
I really, really do, Mike. And I tell you what it is. You can't have a successful show as good as your show is unless you have a bad guy. Dracula would be no good if there was no Van Helsing. Come on, you know, you get to be the bad guy.
Yeah, but it hurts,
Brian. Who needs all good guys?
It hurts because, you know, my family thinks I'm a good guy, but these guys make me out to be a bad guy. I think you know that I'm not.
No, you know what? I'll tell you what. On center stage, you're fabulous. I've told you this. You're the best interviewer I've seen since Johnny Carson. And you're not Carson, but boy, you're damn close. And your research, you know your stuff. Donnie, you're a Jersey guy like me. I love you for that. And Peter, you're like the tremendous sidekick. You always get that. You always get the second half. You always present the other view, and I really appreciate that about you. I've grown to love you over the years.
No, oh, thank you.
So thank you all, fellas.
That was a very nice
phone
call.
What a nice phone call. Thank you.
Who knew?
Wow. I was a pick-me-up. A, I don't get points, and he knows I'm not a bad guy. You guys don't.
Well, you said you're a bad guy. I know you're lying about this. I never said you were a bad guy.
Right.
I just
think
you're
lying about this. What am I lying about? I don't get it.
I believe that you have been pulled over.
No. You know what? I did leave one out. I was pulled over speeding once by the Throgs Neck Bridge. I was not speeding. The guy would not deal. He was very angry. And he said, you were. I said, I was not. What you're saying, I'm going. And I took it to court and won. But, I mean, No. It wasn't, oh, you're Michael K. Please move along.
No, but you've been pulled over.
You're Michael K. Let me write you this ticket.
No, but I said you've been pulled over.
But you said I was pulled over.
I gave
I got
an
out
example
of it because of who
of
I was.
Why you didn't get a ticket. But I remembered that story. That's why I knew you were lying. I remember that story. It's all you talked about for like a month straight.
What a bad guy you are.
No, because, well, I'm defending you because that was an awful. I wouldn't want to have to pay a ticket for something I didn't do.
And that was points, too. That was points.
And the points are the biggest thing, Michael. Seriously.
No, it's awful. Forget about, like, your insurance goes up, and then if you get another ticket, you can lose your license. I got to have my car.
And my argument is always with the points, of getting back to Barbara, is that they would always say it takes a certain amount of years to get the points off. I always argued, why isn't it years and not miles? Because I drive way more. Like you say, all right, it's gonna take a full calendar year to take a point off or whatever it is. It's like it should be like 2 months for me. I drive as much in like 6 months that most people drive in a year. Really, it should be the amount of driving you do, because I could have it in the garage for a year. And what, you get to take the points taken off? And for 6 months, I can go 30,000 miles and I don't get any points taken off? That's not right.
We have a caller, Donna, a tweet here from TP that I think makes a lot of sense.
What's TP say?
This is terrible. Real Michael K is a criminal and should be prosecuted to the fullest extent. I think he makes a salient point.
Wow. And Tim Ramsdell makes another salient point. Don gets pulled over because of the long hair, weed, and metal band bumper stickers.
That's a great point.
I don't have any, but I hate bumper stickers. Like, why deface your car? You paid a lot of money for it.
So we
but
get
I,
like
I
a
did
bumper
get,
sticker
I did
like
get
promotion.
Pulled over for having long hair. I spent like half a day at the Canadian border. They wouldn't let me back in the country.
Because of long
actually,
hair?
I had a boombox, Peter. They took it apart looking for drugs. They just figured the guy's got to be on drugs.
Couldn't find it, huh?
Couldn't find anything. I just had long hair. But I'm not complaining because I can always cut my hair.
And guess what? You're back.
And by the way, just a little bit of advice for any law enforcement that might be listening. Look in his muffler. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. You're watching us on Yes and listening on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, before we move on to talk some serious baseball, we got a hold of that call, Don, between the caller and Dave.
Okay.
And ironically enough, the caller provided it to us. So he has receipts.
Okay.
Here, let's see. We'll make our own judgment.
Justin in the Bronx. Justin, you're first up on 98.7 ESPN.
I'm not going to call and say we're going to the finals, you know, that's it. But I just want to call and say what I would like to see from this now very exciting team to watch. And what that is if you guys could remember that Yankee team with a young Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez, and they weren't really supposed to do anything. And then they kind of made the playoffs and played in some big games and, you know, got some experience under their belt. I would be thrilled if this team could somehow do that and get that experience. What do you guys think?
I mean, you're talking about a team. I mean, Aaron Judge, when healthy, is a top three player and five player in baseball.
Yeah, the Knicks don't have anybody like that on their team.
Are we really there?
No.
We're not there,
well,
are we?
You gotta remember, though, that team wasn't supposed to do anything in the playoffs or even make it, you know?
I don't know. Maybe I'm
just
wrong,
from a talent. Yeah, just from a talent standpoint, I don't think it's comparable. But, I mean, in terms of how things look and feeling like it's getting turned around, I think it's fair for Knicks fans to feel like things are changing. You can embrace that. But still realize you're going to have to add more talent to this roster for you to compete, you know, and play playoff caliber basketball. Like, that's a ways away right now.
Embracing change and comparing this team to the Yankees from a few years ago feels to me, and I don't correct me if I'm wrong, a little differently.
I got to tell you what. He's a snowflake, the caller. Dave didn't yell at him at all.
No.
Neither did Chris. Sorry. You provided us
like
evidence.
It was the beginning of the season, not the offseason. They were already playing. I thought they were both very nice. Nobody got jumped.
Oh, my God.
Nobody
goodness.
Ripped
People
anybody.
So
he was very honest about what he said. So he wasn't arrogant, the call or whatever, but I thought Dave and Chris handled it very well. Sounded like that call was probably, what, maybe in January or something, early February, it sounded like, early in the season. And besides, comparing it to the 2017 Yankees, when he called, I thought he was talking about the 2016 Yankees that didn't make the playoffs. You're telling me that this is a team that's capable of being one game away from finals?
No, but I know what he's saying. Nobody thought that Yankee team was capable.
But this is the NBA. See, you can make runs in other sports. The NBA is not built that way. I've said it many times before. If this was the NHL, I would say, you know what? I think the Knicks got an excellent chance to win a championship. But the NBA doesn't allow for that. The NBA really honors the best teams. You don't normally see upsets the way you see in other sports. We've seen wild card teams win the Super Bowl and the World Series, and we've seen low seeds with home ice disadvantage throughout the playoffs win the Stanley Cup. That doesn't happen in the NBA.
But Justin, that he didn't laugh you off the air.
No, that's where he was. See, that's why you got to show support to the guy you know.
No, I need to be proved. I was proved.
Well, Dave did not disappoint me there.
Aaron Judge was named Player of the Week in the American League. Hit .571. On-base percentage of .640, slugged .1333. OPS and slugging, .1973. Please call that caller. Please, please call. Barry from Manhattan, please. Stop. Stop it. Let's go to Stuart in Deposit, New York. Where's that?
You know where Binghamton is?
Yeah.
Well, it's about east of Binghamton, about 30 miles.
Okay. I like the name.
So here's the deal. You might have a problem.
Why is that?
If you pled guilty to your speeding ticket, you will have a 2-point mark on your license.
But they don't know who's even driving the car.
Who's registered to the car?
My wife and I.
On these types of violations, Stuart, they can't put points on your license because they can't prove you're driving the car. But they're going to fine Michael because it was his car that was doing the speeding. But they can't prove it was him, so they can't put points on his license.
Let's go to Mark in Queens. Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
I'm a first time caller.
Well, welcome
this
aboard.
Call, I'd really like to, thank you. I'd like to direct this to Michael.
Okay.
Because he announces the Yankee games all the time.
Nice.
And this is about Aaron Judge. With the Tampa Bay series, he stunk, as we know. Now, I don't know if you noticed, Michael, but he had a different stance. His feet were like parallel to each other.
No, he didn't stink. Wait. Well, I'll let you finish, Mark. He was great all week. That's why he won the Player of the Week. He was great in the Tampa Bay series. In St. Pete.
No, he was. He struck out like 6-7 times.
No, not the one in St. Pete.
That was the homestand.
The homestand. He was 2-for-24 with like 14 strikeouts.
Okay, but when he was playing with Tampa Bay, the one before it, then I must mean.
Okay. The one at the stadium.
He had a different stance. His feet were like one behind the other as opposed to his open stance. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did not, but I will certainly I'll pull some footage and I'll have Paul O'Neill break it down today. I didn't notice any great change. He just said that he's been more aggressive where, you know, the thing with Judge, we always celebrate the fact, Don and Peter, that he always gets to a 3-2 count. Well, he takes pitches right down the middle. He's so patient, and I think that what you're seeing during this hot streak, he's jumping on the first pitch a lot. If it's right down the middle, why not hit it? So I think he's changed his approach. I don't think he's changed his stance. Could be wrong. I'm wrong a lot. Let's go to Gary in Yonkers. Gary.
Yeah, Michael Kay. I hate to disagree with you, but being Captain Literal and a wordsmith yourself, as far as your car driving, speed limit, the word limit, I think you know what the definition is.
Yes,
it means
I do.
The maximum or minimum speed permitted under in a given area under specific circumstances. Not a specific speed for you that you feel is okay. It's a limit, and there's no adjusting to that limit. That limit is not adjustable to your thought of
That's
what the limit should
point.
Be.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right, Gary. I stand humbled before you. I have not taken the speed limit literally, and now I guess I can lose the Captain Literal Man moniker, which was given to me by Peter. Because I'm not Captain Literal Man. I actually do flaunt the rules. This guy just proved it.
Well, at least there's an example of a time you have done it. I don't know if it defined you.
I can't win. I just can't win with you guys. It's amazing.
Well, I'm not going to – the one time you're not Captain Literal Man, say that you're not Captain Literal Man. But in that case, you kind of wanted to
– But literally, if I don't follow every rule, then I'm not Captain Literal Man. I can't even be an Archimedean anymore. This guy just killed the whole show. Let's go to Steve in Florida. Steve.
Michael, you set up you're the big guy on the show because you set up your two colleagues like Jackie Gleason used to set up the other actors in The Honeymooners. You know what I mean?
Well, thank you. That's quite a compliment.
So you're a bad guy, quote unquote, in that way. But I got to tell you something. Came from Brooklyn. I'm the guy who called up a couple of weeks ago or a few weeks ago and said I'm a lapsed baseball fan. I don't really watch anymore. And I got a Yankee Stadium chair, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I asked you for the chair.
Well, it's still in the will for my nephew. So you're not getting it. But be that as it may, I am now forced, because I like to listen to your show here in Florida, even after 3 years I'm still a New Yorker, I now know more about the Knicks and the Nets than I ever would care to know. I know more about hockey. I'm not going to listen to college basketball or football because I don't care about them. The NFL, I actually went out to dinner for the first time here in Florida without masks on, outside. Another friend of mine who's a big NFL fan from Brooklyn, he moved down here 30 years ago. I began to talk to him about the NFL draft, and he said, "Whoa, how do you know that? You're not even an NFL fan." I said, "Well, I've been taking courses." And I mentioned the Michael Kay Show. So even for somebody like me who kind of my sports fandom is maybe off a little bit, I was forced to actually watch parts of a few of the games just to know what the hell you guys are talking about. And I appreciate it.
Well, thanks.
The only thing that's bad about it is I'm trying to write a book and it's taking away my writing time. But
well,
other than
I have a question to ask you, though, Steve. All right?
Yes.
You obviously are a New Yorker. And you mentioned your friend from Brooklyn. Here's what I want to know. This is a true question. Why did New Yorkers all move to Florida? Why?
I could get in trouble for that. But, no, I actually moved down because my old neighborhood, the Williamsburg, changed. And it used to be more of a small town place. Mm-hmm. And it's no longer that way anymore. You know, all the development, all that stuff.
But why Florida? Years. Why not move to, like, Yonkers or New Rochelle or Greenwich or Scarsdale?
I couldn't afford those places. I mean,
there's the answer.
Another place in Brooklyn. But I came down here because I have several people. I used to come down here all the time for conventions, and I have several people who were family and friends down here. So we wanted to be near people that we knew.
Do you like it, though? I mean, is it anything like New York?
No. I'm calling you from my pool, so I kind of like it that way. I haven't been able to play golf that much in the past year, but I do miss New York desperately.
All right.
We're going to be coming up two or three times at the end of the year for wedding receptions that were canceled last year due to COVID. So we're looking forward to that. You don't know how much you miss New York until you're out of it.
Well, Steve, we're thrilled that you know we've turned the corner for you sports wise. That's what we do. We try. Now you're part of the conversation.
Baseball stinks.
Now, that's Peter, right. you were about to make a Florida comment.
Well, I think the answer for a lot of people is that they wanted to leave New York for whatever reason, and the reason it's Florida is because the property value. You can live such a better lifestyle for so much less money
and no taxes.
It is a weird place, though, man. Miami's a weird place.
How was dining alone on Friday?
I had a delicious meal. Lamb kebabs, tzatziki, pita, a delightful dessert.
You pronounce it Peter.
I'm going to ignore that and keep going. I had Pharrell's favorite drink, which is what they recommend. It was a light. But then Saturday I had brunch at the hotel, and it's just a lot. I mean, the women... The people with money, there's just so much going on. It's overwhelming for me. It's not for me. I'll just say that. Like, it's a beautiful hotel, and if you were going to Florida to have a good time with friends who, like, wanted to see attractive people and a big DJ, like, I would recommend it. But I'm a bore, so I was kind of like, wow, this is a lot. There was a lot going on.
Interesting. I mean, that was really an unpeeling of all the layers, Don.
I'm surprised that it's not his thing. I would think something like that would be his thing.
See, I'm going to tell you why it's not his thing. You ready? Because he's emotionally attached to somebody. If he was playing the field, it would be his thing.
No, because the truth is, if I was playing the field, the kinds of people that were at this place, I have no business talking to them. There's nothing to talk about. There's nothing. They want nothing to do with me.
Sad.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're going to buy a cabana, if you want to pay for a cabana and drop like $5,000 on Cristal, then you might have a conversation. But what do I offer there?
Nothing. We'll be back in just a moment right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, some positive news. We start the 5 o'clock hour with positive injury news for the Mets. Tim Healy of MLB reporting Noah Syndergaard will begin a rehab assignment with AAA Syracuse Wednesday. Now, he's on the 60, so he can't come back until the end of this month. But that's 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
And Seth Lugo will do the same on Tuesday.
All right.
How about that?
So you're talking about having those guys back, you know, maybe for June.
Yeah.
And that would be tremendous because I was thinking, oh, maybe Syndergaard's going to be at the All-Star game, you know, before the All-Star or after, and that's July. We get him back a month early. That helps everything.
Now, everything worked out perfectly for the Knicks over the weekend. For some reason, the Bucks decided to beat the Heat. I don't understand why, because now they have to face the Heat in the first round. But they did the right thing when it comes to sportsmanship. They played the game to play, to win. The Heat did not even play Jimmy Butler. So it's hard to lose to a team that doesn't want to win,
that's
if
the thing.
You know what I mean.
You'd have to make it so obvious,
yes,
that it really put them in an impossible spot. Is there any world in which the Bucks want to play the Heat again?
Yes, there is a world, because they've improved the things that got them hurt last year by getting Jrue Holiday, by getting Tucker. You've got defenders now that can guard the three. And they got destroyed last year, if you remember, with the three. Duncan Robinson became a star, Tyler Hero. I mean, it was just a mess. They couldn't defend the three. So now they have guys that can come out and defend the three. Maybe they think they can beat them.
Well, if the Nets can feel like they can beat anybody, you know, the Bucks could probably feel that way too.
But the Bucks ain't the Nets. I mean, they're good.
I don't think that they should be worried about losing in the first round. Just play the game, right?
But this
and
is
like
not
Peter
your typical
said,
first round
to beat
team.
A team that doesn't care about winning anyway.
This is not your typical first round team. That's my point. Anyway, the Knicks, they get the fourth seed. All I'd like everybody to do is look at some of the teams at the beginning of the year that finished behind them. The Heat finished behind them. The Celtics finished behind them. The Pacers finished behind them. The Hornets finished behind them. The Raptors finished behind them. Now, no one would have predicted that at the start. Maybe the Hornets, maybe. But what they've done, and even the Hawks, they made a lot of nice additions during the offseason. A lot of people thought that they would finish ahead of the Knicks. The Knicks finished ahead of all of them. The only teams that finished ahead of the Knicks in the Eastern Conference, the 76ers, the Nets, and the Bucks. And at the beginning of the year, that's exactly who would say would get the top three seeds. I think the Knicks exceeded everybody's expectations, including Tom Thibodeau. And there's so much that they should be just thrilled about. And we'll go over some of it. Here's Jay Will on KJZ this morning. Jay Williams said the bar now is set high for the Knicks going forward.
What are the next moves? Like, let's even say they get by the Hawks. Phenomenal season.
Oh, my God, yes.
But what typically happens in New York is, all right, like, how do we sustain that next year? Or how do we surpass that? What decisions do you make on guys like Derrick Rose? Some of your pending free agents, do you bring some guys back? Do you release cap space? Do you try to go get more guys?
Absolutely.
I mean, you do, but there's a lot of moving parts, especially when the bar has been set. Like, you didn't come in just as a 9 or 10. You're the fourth seed.
Yep.
I don't care if it Miami deals with their issues, whatever. You're the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference right now heading into the playoffs. That sets a pretty high bar for Tibbs and company next year to reach that mark again.
Well, they have, but that's a good thing. It's better than the bar that was set,
right,
like a limbo bar before this. Now, Tim Legler was on DCR, and he said just this one season, the Knicks have repaired their image.
Right now, I don't think you can doubt this team because of their toughness. Playing in a 7-game series against a team that could be that good defensively at times, who knows what's going to happen. But regardless, even if they lose to the Hawks in the first round, as long as they don't get swept or something happens to really give you a bitter feeling at the end of the year, you got to think about how important it is that you have seen a transformation of an organization, the relevance of an organization in one season.
And finally, Stephen A., our good buddy, was on KJZ, and he made a prediction about the Knicks.
I think it's going to be a seven-game series. I like the young talent that they got in Atlanta. I love Nate McMillan, the fact that he's in Atlanta, because I didn't like him in Indianapolis. I didn't think that was the right place for him. I love the fact that he's in Atlanta doing his thing. Proud of him. But they're going down, man. They're going down. Knicks stand up. That's what this is going to be. They got home court advantage. They're going to struggle a little bit in the ATL, no question about it. But in the end, I think it'll be a seven-game series. I can see each team defending its home court. It comes down to Game 7 in Madison Square Garden. The Knicks close the deal, advance to the second round against the Philadelphia 76ers. That's what I see.
So there you have it. So the Knicks finished fourth. They would play the Sixers if the Sixers win their first-round series, which they should. So they'll avoid the Nets. The Nets and the Knicks wouldn't meet until the Eastern Conference Finals, right, if that actually happened. So I think the Knicks have so much to be proud of. I think Thibodeau is the coach of the year. They've exceeded all expectations, and they go into the playoffs with a legitimate shot to beat the Hawks.
Now, obviously, we're excited about where they are. But you're going to feel like, is this sustainable? Or is this just a blip on the radar screen, or is this the beginning of something special? And I think getting to the four seed was so important, not for any other reason, but now you got a chance to get to the second round. And I think all that experience is going to be valuable, Michael, because what would stink about them getting swept in the first round is that that's less games that they'll really be able to get that experience. If Steven's right and they play a best of seven and they're in a game seven and they win that game seven, think about the wealth of experience that's going to be. And then get to the second round. And then even if you get swept, that's still four more games you played against a real elite team. And then you can see where you stand and see what you need to adjust to so that you can get to that next level. But to have guys that they could play in a game seven, to get stretched to that, to play in the second round, now that all gets filed away, right? So the next year, now you're ready. Now you're ready to take that next step. And I'm not sure you would have been able to do that, finishing as the sixth seed and getting swept by Milwaukee or losing in five games to Milwaukee. That's why this is such a great gift I hope they take advantage of.
And it's so important, too, just to get the experience. If they get through a first round to get to a second, all of a sudden you give playoff experience to R.J. Barrett, who's 20. You give playoff experience to Julius Randle, who's never played in the playoffs. The only starters that have played in the playoffs, Bullock and Noel. That's it. That's it. There's not a lot of playoff experience on this team. So just getting that under your belt, I'll refer something back to the Yankees. In 1995, they made that run, and they went to Seattle. And they're up 2-0. They lose 3 unbelievable games to the Mariners. But the Yankees did not have Derek Jeter on the roster. But they made him travel with them so he could see what he was aiming for. So he could see the atmosphere. So when he's in a playoff game, it wouldn't shock him. So when he took the field in 1996 in the Yankees' first playoff game, he had seen it. He had not been on the field, but he had seen it. Posada, who, incredibly enough, was used as a pinch runner for the 95 team, he saw it. He knew what he was aiming for. That's why these games are so important for the R.J. Barretts and the Julius Randles. And the funny thing about the Knicks, though, this team might not be anything like the team that you see next year. They've got a lot of decisions to make. Do we trade a lot of our draft capital to bring in that veteran to take us to the next level? How many of these free agents? Do we bring back Nerlens Noel? Do we bring back Taj Gibson? Do we bring back Derrick Rose? I mean, they got a lot of decisions to make. This team could be completely different next year. But the guys that you know are going to be here, you know what? You want them to get that experience. You want them to play in a game six or seven at Madison Square Garden.
Now, what'd you say in the last hour, Michael? That what the Bucks learned from what happened against the Heat last year, and they made the adjustments and they got better. And that's a team that's going to be competing for a championship this year, right? So you said the decisions that have to be made, well, you might make them based on how they play. You know, I think there's a big difference. Like somebody was on hold, I don't know if we got to him about, you know, playing with house money. Here's why you're not. Because if you win this series in seven and then move on to the next round, you may have a different feel about this team than if they get swept by the Hawks. Because you get swept by the Hawks, it might be like, listen, we got a lot of work to do, guys. But meanwhile, if you win this series, let's say you win this series in short order, and you put a scare into the Sixers, maybe your evaluation is different, and maybe you just have to fine-tune some things. So the 72 games were important as an evaluation. Think of the evaluation here, where you really got a chance to find out what this team is made of. Because you know what? We go from third gear to fifth gear now. You thought it was big. You thought down the stretch was big. Now you're in the playoffs. Now these are where the big boys go. And this is where you, if you want to dance with the devil, this is you're going to find out. So this is all just a wealth of experience, not just for the players, but for the organization to find out what direction they need to go.
It also just can't be viewed as playing with house money anymore because they've now been good for too long.
Yes, good point.
It's just too much time has passed with them being competitive against good teams. They go out west, they lose a heartbreaker to the Lakers, but they beat good teams. They compete every night. They're the four seed. So there's no way around it. If they were to not perform well in this series and lose 4-1, it's non-competitive, people are going to be deeply disappointed. I don't think any Knicks fans at this point, while they may be really happy to go to the playoffs and they say they're just happy to be there, once this thing starts next weekend, people are going to expect this team to fully compete, if not advance.
Yeah, I don't think – I think if you rolled the clock back to before the season, then you say this is with house's money. But we always use this phrase, well, now you have to recalibrate. They've proven they can play with anybody. So you don't want to get swept by the Hawks. Now, I think that they I'm almost certain they would lose to the Sixers, the Nets, or the Bucks. I do.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't mean that they have to phone it in. They should make it tough and maybe have a chance. Maybe you win a game in Philadelphia out of the first two and you put some heat on them, make them think about it. Maybe somebody gets hurt. You never know.
There's no way. We have no idea how they'd compete against Philly over the course of a series. And to the point you just made, yeah, exactly. You never know who's going to get hurt. I mean, one player goes down, all of a sudden the series gets – it basically becomes even. I mean, the Knicks aren't – the only team that I think they're not even close to is the Nets. They'll lose to the Bucks. I think they would lose to the Sixers. But one player missing from either of those teams, and I think they're there.
Before we take your phone calls, one quick update from Tim Healy, who covers the Mets. Syndergaard and Lugo will be with Low A St. Lucie, not Syracuse. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's just trying to get the throws in. Well, before we get to the calls, we should also mention the official announcement. It was kind of leaked over the weekend, but the official announcement that Marv Albert is going to retire at the end of the playoffs. So his last game that he will ever call will be the Eastern Conference Finals. Which, wouldn't it be great if it's the Knicks? I mean, talk about, like, closure. But I think he's been so – I don't know if Peter feels the same way because he's not from the area – but he's been so much part of the firmament. I mean, every single one of us growing up, even a guy who, my age at 60, all we've known is Marv Albert. I mean, he's been calling Knick games since 1963. And basketball was Marv Albert. And he has been for the longest time. And when you ask most broadcasters today, major influences, most of them would say Marv Albert. That's the kind of imprint that he has left. And I'm surprised he's walking away. Who knows if there was a gentle nudge. I have no idea whatsoever. I'm not even assuming that happened because I know how much Marv loves to do the games. He's 80 years old. I think his voice still tells you it's a big game. And maybe he'll get some work with a local team. It doesn't have to be the Nets or the Knicks. But I think that certainly homage has to be paid to the brilliance over such a long stretch of time by this guy. I mean, we all celebrated, you know, Vin Scully, who worked into his 90s. You have to celebrate Marv Albert because basketball and Marv Albert are inextricably linked. I mean, they just are.
How about this? I'm going to go ahead and throw a hot take out there. Would you? I'm not going to say hockey. I can't speak on it as well. Of football, baseball, and basketball, I would say Marv on a national level is, as a play-by-play guy, is more directly associated with his sport than anyone else ever.
I would say you're right. I would say you're right because baseball's changed, and really with basketball, it's just been Marv and Mike Breen. And Mike has actually now called more games than Marv. But Marv was calling games, you know, between the Celtics and the – well, that was Dick Stockton, too.
It was when the game changed.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And he, and as iconic as Dick Stockton is, and we all agree, right, he wasn't culturally the impact that Marv was.
And also Marv's yes is like universally known. It just is.
Yes.
It's the call.
So like, baseball's changed too much. Football, I mean, I would still argue that from a color commentary standpoint, Madden is the most associated with football ever. But, you know, and obviously Cosell is Cosell, whatever. I think Marv, apples to apples, when you think about the sport nationally, no one is Marv.
Well, and this is a compliment too, but I think everybody can own a piece of Marv, right? I was looking at this. It was on Twitter. Somebody listed it. 55 years broadcasting NBA games, 25 NBA All-Star games, 13 NBA Finals, all right? But he also called 8 Super Bowls for national radio, all right? He also called 8 Stanley Cups while doing the Rangers. So if you're a Ranger fan, you think of Marv calling all those amazing, you know, 72 Stanley Cup Final, 79 Stanley Cup Final, and heck, he even did call a couple of games for the 94 Stanley Cup, including winning the championship in Game 7 over Vancouver. If you're a football fan, you think of him doing football games for NBC. And if you're just a sports fan, you think of him going on Letterman and doing those spots for the crazy videos for sports, like around the world. What would they call it on Letterman? So he did all of that. Like, so hockey fans own him. Basketball fans own him. Football fans own him. I remember him, Michael, 86 World Series after Game 7, he interviewed Marty Barrett after the game. He was in the Boston Red Sox room for NBC, which is the toughest. Anybody can go into the winning room, Peter, and interview the winners, but go in there and interview the Red Sox after that heartbreaking Game 7 loss. Mm. Like, so who else has had that kind of impact on every sport? Plus, he did the Olympics in 92 for the Dream Team. He's done Wimbledon. He's done boxing.
He's done everything.
And did it on a significant enough level that I think any sports fan, think about that. You just say how much he is the voice of the NBA. You could never have watched an NBA game and still know the significance of Marv Albert.
And the thing that makes him special here in New York, and John Sterling once told me this when we started working together, when you call a championship, people remember you forever. And since the Knicks have only had 2, and he's had the iconic calls, here comes Willis. I mean, that's forever. Those are forever moments for New Yorkers. So I wish him happiness. I hope he has a great Eastern Conference Finals, but this is an iconic voice that is finally calling it quit. So, you know, he deserves all the respect that you could possibly have. He's been incredible.
It'll be him and C. Webb, right?
No, C. Webb left. He quit.
He did?
Yeah, he just walked away. So I they're going to have to find a different analyst for him. Maybe they'll bring in Fratello.
No, that'd be great. Maybe it's Reggie Miller.
Could be.
Wait, when did C. Webb quit?
Last week. He just walked away. I think they were thinking about not renewing his contract.
Yeah,
he said, well, you know what? I'll leave now.
Wow, I did not even see that, and that is really disappointing. I enjoyed C-Web, actually.
And even though it won't be the same as the Knicks, you know, the Nets making it to the Eastern Conference Finals, still pretty good for Marv. He did tons of games on Yes.
Yeah, he started. He and I were the play-by-play guys on Yes when it started. I always thought that secretly they named the network Yes because they had Marv. But Yankee Entertainment and Sports works out. Let's go to Bill in Union. Bill.
How are you? I just want to let you know, I'm a first-time and long-time listener, and I have to say, the three of you are the funniest since the Marx Brothers. Sometimes you make me laugh so hard that I'm literally crying in the car. I just had to say that from the top.
Thank you.
I really mean that. You guys are hilarious, and you're knowledgeable, but you are so hilarious. I wanted to get to the point about Marv Albert. Turner let every NBA team know that if they wanted to honor Marv, this was the time to do it. So they gave every team a heads up that if they wanted to honor him, they should do it during the course of the playoffs. That's the first thing I read. I wanted to let you know, I wanted to ask you guys when the first time you met Marv. But my first time, my father had seats in the blue section the year after the Knicks won it in 73. And every time at halftime, I made my way down to the perch right over the tunnel where the Knicks used to come out in the middle there. And I used to go right up to him and stand by that little perch over there by the up to the railing. And when he took off his headphones at halftime, I just used to say hello and shake my hand. And that was the biggest thrill in the world for me. And that was about 48 years ago. And who knew it eventually ended up representing one of the Knicks on there. And he couldn't have been nicest. And if you ever went up to talk to Marv,
He always stopped and said hello. And my question to you guys, can you remember the first time that you met Marv Albert?
Well, I don't remember specifically. I never met him when I was not in the business, but I worked for MSG very early. You know, I was a newspaper writer and then did the Knicks pre and post game. And just to be around him, he was so kind and you know, giving to a young guy that was, you know, just walked in there. I was doing pre and post. He never big time anybody. Here's what I always remember. We always used to have a production meeting at about, for a night game, maybe about 4 o'clock. And Marv would come in with his briefcase. He'd have a deli sandwich and a Dr. Brown's cream soda.
And great call.
He would eat that as we would go over everything that we were going to do on the broadcast. And it was the same thing every single meeting. And he was like, you know, it was like clockwork. He was Marv. And like the caller said, he was nice to everybody. I never saw him big time anybody. But I was a perfect person for him the big time because I was doing nothing important, at least compared to what he was doing. But even when I, you know, got the Yankee gig, he was always so cool to me and nice and giving. And, you know, he's been on the show with us, so we're fans for sure.
Oh, we had him on a bunch of times when I was doing the show with Mike Lupica. Lupica would have him on a bunch of times, so I interviewed him. But I had never met him until like a couple of summers ago at Kenny's Barbecue.
I never got invited to that.
So I bring in the family, and, you know, Nancy never had met him before, really knew about him the way that I did, obviously. And it was so cool because he's talking to me that he watches the show when he's on the treadmill. So he might be watching right now on the treadmill. So hi, Marv. So I just thought that was a kick. He's talking about how he watches me on television. And, you know, I made sure that, you know, I introduced the twins to them, and they were two at the time, so they're not going
to
have any recollection.
I'm sure it meant
I can't wait to
them.
Tell them that they were hanging out at the barbecue with Marv Albert. That's going to be pretty awesome. So he couldn't have been more kind. Such a nice guy.
Have you gotten the invite to this year's barbecue yet?
I don't know if there's going to be one.
Why wouldn't there be?
Well, because I got to figure out the schedule because, you know, Kenny is doing the Stanley Cup Final for NBC this year.
Right.
So I got to figure out when, you know, doing the math. So that's going to take us into, it's already the middle of May. So that's going to take us into July. So I don't know. And then he's got baseball. He may not be able to carve out a Saturday or a Sunday to do it.
Is there a chance that I would ever be invited?
He only invites people, Peter, that he either is working with now or has directly worked with in the recent past. That just seems to be looking at the invite list. It seems to be it's all the MSG guys or different people from Fox or NBC or somebody that he worked with for a long time.
I have a question. I have an important question.
Or is actually
question.
Directly friends with. So I don't know if Michael checks any of those boxes.
I have a question.
I don't think he does.
Does Daryl Moose Johnston attend?
Well, you're talking about him flying in from Dallas, Peter. I don't
That's
know.
Right.
It's not that, you know,
it's
not
a
that
big barbecue.
Crazy a party.
I want
a barbecue.
Moose.
Wow. It's hurtful. I've always felt it was hurtful. Anyway,
well, I don't know why it's hurtful.
Because this is a big party that, you know, it's a big industry thing.
But you work with him. Have you ever worked with him?
I was at the Garden when he worked at the Garden.
Ah, no. See, that's not how it works.
Now,
yeah, I did the Chance the Rapper thing for a hockey game once with him.
Did you
Let's
ever
do that hockey? I screamed.
Did you ever invite Kenny to anything you've ever had?
No, because he didn't invite me.
Wow.
It's a tit for tat thing.
Yeah, but we don't know who didn't invite who first.
Great.
We
point.
Also have the same birthday, Peter. There's something that connects us. He's the first one all the time. He or John Heyman, who will text me first at like 12:01. So please stop. I should be there.
So he's a friend.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That's a stretch.
If someone
you ever break bread with him?
If someone texts you every year on your birthday, they're a friend.
Yeah. Thank you, Peter. Well, let's take a brief time out. Towel off. I hate when things get contentious. Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.